from the scriptures that was read this afternoon. 2 Chronicles 7, verses 1 through 3, and Matthew's 3 and 11. I want you to go back when you're at your leisure and read 2 Chronicles chapter 6, starting at verse 12 through 42. This is the prayer that those first three verses is talking about. This is when Solomon was dedicating the altar that was built for God. Go back and read it at your leisure. If you want to go back to 5, you can do that too, because it tells you, it brings you a little bit further and to give you a better understanding of all that's going on there. But this morning, we want to talk to you a bit about a church on fire. And when they start singing this morning that song about every day is Thanksgiving, it immediately went to my mind. I said, well, maybe I don't need to do this because it seems like the fire is already here. But still, I have to do what I have been given. I have to be obedient to the word of God. And so should we all. Because there are consequences. So at this time, we're going to start off with, there was in this village a well-known man who was, he wasn't a bad person, but he was an atheist. He didn't believe in God, and he was not interested in the church nor anything connected to the church. He thought of the church as being dead and cold. He viewed the church as a place, as a social club. A place where no decisions were being made. But one day, the church house caught fire. And the whole town ran towards the building to help extinguish the fire, including the village atheists. And you know how we are. We see him and we know his character. And someone yelled out and they said, "This is the first time that we have ever seen you running towards a church." And in his response, he says that this is the first time that I have seen the church on fire. So what I'm trying to tell you, Macedonia, this morning, this afternoon, is it is my deepest sympathy, my deepest desire that this community will never be able to say that they have never seen us on fire. Let the church be the where the, in this community, let the world know that God moves in this place as well as in the people. But you see, in order for us to be on fire, we must be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And let the fire of the Holy Spirit burn in the fireplaces of our hearts. We must realize that the things we do are for the upbuilding of God's kingdom and not our own. There may be somebody here that has had the sad experience of being in a cold, dead church that did not have this fire that I'm speaking of. You see, the choir stands up to sing, and obviously they just wasn't into what they were doing. Their mind, the emotions wasn't there. And the invitation is given, and no one really expects anything to happen. And have you ever visited a church like that? Or have you ever been involved or a member of a church like this? We find, if you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 5, where Jesus tells the church of Ephesus, He remembered. Jesus said, "Remember therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlesticks out of his place, except thou repent." Then see, this church, Ephesus, had lost and had left its first love. That's what he was talking about. So this, you see, we focus on the wrong thing. We need to keep our focus on Jesus Christ. Now, a few years ago, when I came to this city, and I started attending Macedonia Baptist Church, I heard so much of what this church used to be. And now I hear from those who believe in what it was and what it will be once again. And whether these things we heard that was good or bad, focusing on the past will ruin the present, and it will destroy the future. You'll have some say that what we need is new converts that'll set the church on fire. But I believe in my heart that what we need is fire in the church. I want you to, at your leisure, look at Genesis 22, where this is where God appeared to Abraham for the seventh time. And God told Abraham, he said, to take his son Isaac to the mountain to become a human sacrifice. They arrived at the location, and Isaac still didn't realize that he was going to be the sacrifice. Isaac knew there was three things required for a sacrifice. You needed the wood, you needed the fire, and you needed a lamb. And Isaac spake unto Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb?" Okay, now we come some 4,000 years later. I want to, and as we look at most churches around us today, I want us to invert that question. And so we have the wood, we have the lamb, but where is the fire? Now we know that the wood was the cross, or is the cross of Calvary. We know that the lamb is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. But where is the fire? Do we have a lack of fire in the pulpit? Do we have a lack of fire in the pews? If you want to see an example of a church on fire for God, go to the book of Acts, chapter 4. You can read the whole thing, but particularly verse 1, verse 8, and 31. This gives you an example of a church on fire for God. Now, when we need power to fulfill God's purposes, and we need God's power alone. You see, there can be no substitute, because God said in his word, he's a jealous God. There will be, he will have no other God before me. We cannot depend on man-made excitement to get the job done. I'm speaking of man-made excitement through programs that are full of fluffed up worship that is to stir the people into some kind of emotional high. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, and it reads, it says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit of and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." See, Paul says, "I'm not depending upon my wisdom, flamboyant sermons, tear-jerking illustrations, or funny stories, Because as we said earlier, now these will not hurt unless you're putting them in the place of God. What the church needs is to go back to the beginning. What I mean is that there may be a need for a revival. Just as we schedule our annual calendar for events, maybe we need to schedule a revival every once in a while. And in preparation for this revival, the church needs to be pulled together, and we need to be fasting, and we got to be praying. We have talked so much this quarter, it seemed like every Sunday prayer was somewhere involved. So we need to get together and pray. If we would do this, I can promise you one thing, that the power of God would be so strong in this place that you can feel it throughout this building. And I know that God's word is true. We can then say that it wasn't because of programs or because of activities or organizations. It wasn't because we have a youth pastor. Or it wasn't because we had some type of PowerPoint screen presentation. It wasn't because any of those things. But I tell you what it was about. It was because somebody prayed. Somebody paid the price. They spent the time on their knees seeking for God and His power. See, prayer will lead to growth in the Lord and in His word. It is not to say that you need to be growing in numbers to become an on fire church for God. God's plan are beyond our understanding, and He has something different in mind. Things such as spiritual growth. We hear so much about spiritual growth. So it should tell you one thing: we can't do things in our flesh, or we shouldn't do it in our flesh. We need to do it in the spirit of God, because God is spirit. I'd rather have a handful of saints on fire that's gathered right here on the front row than to have a whole church that's cold, where you can hang meat in, where the spirit is not moving in that church. We need to praise God and Him alone. We need to continue to do the will of God. And I asked myself, I said, self, just imagine what would happen when the pastor and the people of the church is on fire for God. Can you imagine the power that we would have in this community? It would be overwhelming, just like it said in 2 Chronicles, the power of the Lord, when the fire came down, His power consumed the house, where even the priests themselves couldn't go in. So, but just imagine if the power and the priests and the church itself was full of God's power. Just imagine what we could do in this community. I want you to know also there are some dangers that members can fall into if we are not careful. And you see, sometimes we when we magnify our importance, when we feel so indispensable, we deserve special treatment, or we deserve special privileges. We deserve special considerations. We deserve special recognition. If you leave my name off of a program, you have committed the ultimate sin. Because I am so important, my name got to be there. But it doesn't matter whether you put my name on a program. It doesn't matter whether you put my name in the bulletin or anywhere. That should not be your focus. And oh yeah, as I said earlier, my opinion matters most of all. this problem of magnifying your own importance can happen to any one of us. It can happen to the youngest child, to the man that's leading the church. But we need to remember that pride is where we look to, and that will cause you to fall. You remember Satan, because pride is what took him down. And pride will take you down if you fall with that pride attitude. There's another danger that can hurt us as children of God. When we minimize our importance, attitude of unfaithfulness, which says it doesn't matter if I come to church or not. It doesn't matter if I come to rehearsal or not. Speaking of the choirs, and it doesn't matter if I come to business meetings or not. It doesn't matter if I come to Bible study or not. It doesn't matter if I come to this house of worship. But the greatest ability I found is dependability. So don't minimize your importance to the body of Christ. There's something for all of us to do. Little is much when God is in the midst. Just be faithful. A church that's on fire for God is not only endowed with power, not only equal in position, it is pleasing to our Lord and Savior. A church on fire pleases God. A church on fire is without exception. There's nothing more pathetic than a drowsy, lethargic church. Well, what do you mean, lethargic? It's a big word to somebody, but it only means that you are lacking in energy. There's no life in the church. So let's not be a lethargic church. Let's get on fire for Jesus Christ. Let's get on fire for my Lord and Savior. Good God Almighty, when our church loses its flavor for Christ, it ceases to be an organism. It just becomes and operates as an organization. A church on fire will be endowed with the power of God. And in my conclusion, please, ma'am, and please, sir, our God is a consuming fire. You go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12 and verse 29, and he desires to have and will have a church that is on fire with his divine presence and power. Fire consumes. What do you mean? It burns out the sinful and unnecessary stuff that's in your life. Fire purifies. It makes us clean and holy before God. Fire prepares, as it do in food. It makes us tasteful and pleasant to each other. Fire cheers when we are caught in the cold grip of despair and discouragement. He cheers us on to victory. Fire. fire softens. What do you mean? Softens. The Holy Spirit will soften the heart of the sinner, and he will repent. Fire unites. It unites to the dissimilar metals. It will unite them. Yes, it will. The Holy Spirit brings unity to the people of God. Fire empowers. You shall see, you shall receive power. And after that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you. Fire, fire in the church. Fire in the church is a necessity. Fire, come on, church. Let's get it together in unity and get on fire for God. A church on fire will fast and it will pray. It will see the need and the value of earnestly seeking God. There's rewards that we find in serving this God. You remember Moses when he had the Ten Commandments. You remember Elijah when Elijah received directions from God. And I remember Hezekiah when he turned his face to the wall and he got 15 more years. So there's rewards serving this God, but we must serve him and earnestly and believe in what his word has said. A church on fire will be uncomfortable in the world. 1 John 2:15, and it reads, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The fire of God burns in the heart. It will burn away our desires for the things of the world. A church on fire. Jesus Christ, I remember when he wept. He wept at Jerusalem because he cared for their souls. And if we care for our brothers and sisters' souls, we will try our best to do our best to serve this God, to bring them on in, to let them know it doesn't matter of anything that you've done, but God can and God will save your soul. So church, let's get on fire for Jesus Christ. Let's show this community that God moves in me. God moves here. God can do any and everything. God is all power. God is all knowing. So trust in him. He said, you have not because you ask not. So ask him in his word, but be ready to receive what God has for you. Be for real in his word. Be for real in serving God. Be for real, church. Come on, we praise God. Sometimes, I know Pastor was talking about this morning, it used to be you had to prime these pumps, but we should not need anything to prime us up, because when God woke you up this morning, that was enough. He started you on your way. Yes, he did. But there were so many that wasn't able to get up this morning. But God allowed you one more chance to come out and serve him. So church, let's get on fire for God. I'm talking about the church that's within each of us. Come on church, let's not need to be pumped up by the songs of the choir, by the preacher man, but come on with that fire already inside, giving him praise, giving him glory, giving him honor. Come on, church. Remember in Genesis 22, and when Isaac, he knew there was three things that was needed for a sacrifice. He knew they had the wood and they had the fire, but they didn't have the lamb. But now, the question is, we got the wood, which is the cross of Calvary. We got the lamb. My God Almighty is Jesus Christ. But where is the fire in the church? Where is the fire? Let's get on board. Let's serve God and not ourselves. We need to build his kingdom and not our own. It doesn't matter where you put me, because my concern one day is to see Jesus Christ. If that's not your goal, I feel sorry for you, but I'm gonna see him for myself. I got to, cause he brought me through so much. Good God Almighty, come on, saints, let's get on fire for God. Let's get on fire for God. Jesus died for you and for me. Come on, praise him, saints. Good God Almighty, good God Almighty, I thank you, Lord, for one more day. I thank you, Lord, for one more day. Lord, I thank you for all that you've done in my life. I thank you, Lord, for my family. I thank you, Lord, for my wife. You blessed me so many times, and I just thank you, good God Almighty. Praise God, church. Praise God, church. Good God Almighty. God has done so many wonderful things in our lives. And it's a shame that sometimes you get into a church and You got to, you singing and preaching your heart out. And people sit there and they look at you. But there's one thing, they either haven't gone through anything, but they just, all they need to do is wait. You're gonna go through something. The people that's singing and shouting and praising God, they can tell you they've gone through something. God will take you through it. And I'm one that I was, God was too slow for me. But he said, be patient and wait. That's all we have to do is wait on him. Wait and be patient. It may not seem like it's going to end, but it will. God bless you. God keep you, is my prayers.